Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, we're back here in Atlanta on The Fan in New York, and we welcome in the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Blank. Mr. Blank, how are you? Good to see you. How's everything?
I'm great, Mike. Thanks.
My pleasure.
You. Yeah, good to be on again.
Flushing, Flushing boy made good, yeah, as a matter of fact.
When I talk to you, I feel like I'm back home again.
You are? Yeah. You are, and obviously, you know what? You're always a little bit of home, as a matter of fact. You can't take that out of the guy. And we're in your town and hearing great things about your building, which I've yet to be in, but I keep hearing wonderful things. Now, they keep hinting about the idea that it might be 60 and they could have the roof open. What's the determining factor on the roof? Obviously, rain would kill it, but otherwise, a good chance to keep it open this summer?
Well, I think, you know, that's obviously a decision that the NFL will make, that the commissioner will make, actually. You know, we'd love an opportunity to. It's a very iconic roof. It opens and closes in 8 minutes. Yeah, it's magnificent.
Wow.
So our hope is that they'll elect to do something with the roof that'll show off the beauty of the design and the construction. So keep our fingers crossed, and I think the fans in the building and the fans, over 100 million fans watching the game, will enjoy it as well.
Yeah, everyone raves about the building. I'm looking forward to it. How about the franchise first? You know, everyone knows you're here a couple of years ago. 28-3 lead. It's 2 years removed from that. Has the franchise gotten past that game? Has it gotten past it?
Yeah, well, as you well know, Mike, and our listeners well know, is that if you don't get over the game from the preceding Sunday, you're not going to play successfully the following week. So that's 2 years ago. I mean, we understand. I mean, it's 28-3, and we weren't able to close it out the way we had anticipated. We've learned from that experience. We made the playoffs the following year. This year was an off year. We had a lot of injuries, like a lot of clubs do, and weren't exactly where we needed to be. We made some changes with our coordinators, and head coach is a great leader and a great coach. And he'll be calling defensive plays again for us this year. Last time he did that was in 16. We went to the Super Bowl. So, you know, I like where we are. We'll continue to get better with free agency in the draft, but we've got a great team and a great quarterback.
The city of Atlanta, as far, it's been 19 years since they've hosted this game.
Way too long, as a
matter of fact. And this city's grown a lot, hasn't it? I mean,
it has.
A football city, it's grown a lot. It's become a very, very big city in a lot of different ways.
It has. When I moved here in 1979, when I co-founded the Home Depot, there were less than a million people living in the city. Now there are about 7 million living in the city, so it's grown tremendously. And in the 19 years since the Super Bowl was here in the year 2000, when the Rams played here, at that time Rams and Titans played here, you know, all these magnificent venues downtown, not only our stadium, which is iconic and unique, I think, in the sports entertainment complex throughout the United States, if not the world, you've got the largest aquarium in the country today, you've got the National Civil and Human Rights Museum, the World of Coke, Children's Museum, College Hall of Fame, all of within a short walking distance. One of the beauties as well is the walkability of all the events for the NFL. The NFL has 15 official events that they sponsor. 13 of the 15 are within a several block walk of each other. So it's a major, major plus.
And you have the MARTA system's a very good system, right? You can move people to the game very easily, right?
We do. We actually lead the NFL in terms of public transportation, guest attending. We have about 35% of our guests come for, whether it be for NFL games, or soccer, or concerts, whatever, come by public transportation. And interesting, they rank that as the most preferred way to come and go in terms of the stadium. So they have a good experience on public transportation. It's not just, you know, getting there easily, but they have a good experience on it as well.
As someone who is a big part of the game being here, what's the toughest part of a city putting on a Super Bowl? I mean, it would seem to me security would be number one. Is that number one?
Well, you can't assume security is going to be perfect. You got to make sure it's perfect. And In 2017, the NFL ranked our security in our stadium as being the number one in the NFL. Okay. And obviously it's gotten better in 18 and continues on. And security for the for this Super Bowl has been incredible, working in partnership with all of the government agencies, federal agencies, state agencies, city agencies as well. So, you know, we know the building is going to be secure. You know, the biggest challenge is that you want to make sure logistically that everybody feels like this is their welcome home, if you will. Expression we use for fans and guests and customers in our building, want to make sure everybody feels that way. From the time they get off their plane at the airport to the time they come downtown, and 10,000 rooms within walking distance and 300 restaurants within walking distance, all of those things make people feel this is a comfortable place to be, an easy place to be. And the weather this week couldn't be more, couldn't be better than it is. So we're thrilled to have everybody here.
And you do some nice things with your fans on a weekly basis. We're talking, of course, with the Falcon owner, Arthur Blank. You keep the prices down inside the building for, right. for your families and for your people,
we don't,
right?
Just keep them down. But we moved from the Georgia Dome over to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We cut our prices by 50%, across the board on every single product or drink, whatever it may be. And the result of that was, in the year before we left and came to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, we were ranked 14, 15 in the league. The last 2 years have been ranked number one by the National Football League and by our fans in terms of fan experience. And that's not only the welcome home atmosphere and the staffing, the 5,000 associates we have, but it's the food and beverage pricing, which really, and the quality of the food and the quality of the service. That's a way to show fans that we appreciate what they give us. They give us their time, their energy, their passion, their financial resources, and we need, as an organization, and I think as a league, we need to find more and more ways to say thank you, excuse me, thank you to our fans.
The controversy this year with the game and the officiating, where do you come down as we get ready this, when you get the competition committee again, you guys meet in March, where do you come down as an owner on this thing?
Well, I think, what the commissioner said, excuse me, this morning, what I think was very important, and that is that, the league at the end of the year, throughout the year actually, but at the end of the year certainly, they look at every single play, regular season, postseason, how do we improve the integrity of the game if there's a way to do it. So obviously the call in New Orleans was a bad call, it was a missed call, etc. You can't go back and replay the game. There's a lot of things that going into a team winning or losing, but the competition committee, which is chaired by our president and CEO, Rich McKay,
right,
is made up of owners and general managers, retired players, coaches. They'll be looking at every aspect of our play throughout the year, including examples like that. How do we get it better? How do we get more consistent? Officials do a great job, but how do we make sure we don't have those kinds of human judgment errors in the future? It's a human game. You have players and coaches and officials that are all humans, and they do make mistakes, but you really want to have a way to avoid that and have the implications to our fans in New Orleans that happened for them.
Interesting time in team ownership now. Technology becomes a big part.
Right.
You have all the states, as they get on board with gambling now, one after another. Challenge of giving people a reason to come to the game rather than be in the comfort of their home. Mm-hmm. How about those things, addressing that? You're a very forward-thinking owner. You're a guy who's had tremendous success in your life as a business leader with Home Depot, as everyone knows. How about the challenges of ownership going forward with those things? Gambling, technology, all the different things that are going to be there for you.
Well, I think in terms of technology and gambling, we need to continue to be on the leading edge, understanding what our fans are looking for, understanding ways that we can respond to them that are compatible with the values of the NFL, compatible with the values of our citizens nationally and by state. Understand that we have to find a comfortable place for everybody. Technology is emerging as an important part of where the league is today, both in terms of the game, how it's put on, in terms of how it's officiated, etc. And I think we have to find ways, like our food and beverage concession pricing, to bring fans into the stadiums and arenas, not just in Atlanta, but really throughout the United States, that ways to say thank you to the fans for their time and their passion, their energy, and their resources. And I think that the beauty of what we've done in Atlanta is great for Atlanta, but we've had over 15 organizations, teams in the NFL, teams in baseball, teams in college football, and some institutional structures that have now followed that example and are following it. So we're excited about being there.
And what is the most important thing you try to stress with your organization with that, as far as the relationship with the fan?
Well, I think we always have to understand that, you know, without the fans, we have 22 young men playing Sandlot football. So we have to find ways to support the fans, understand the fans, give them the value for their time, their energy, all the things I mentioned earlier. And we're doing that, you know, in Atlanta, in terms of amenities, building design, construction, and all the services, and also caring about community. We're heavily involved in the West Side redevelopment plans directly across the street from our stadium, which is where Dr. King was born and raised, a quarter mile from where we're sitting right now. And so we're committed to, you know, making a difference in the communities as well. That's important to our fans, to understand that we're not just about, you know, producing revenue and bottom line, but we're interested in the fan experience in the building and understanding the community commitment on the outside of the building.
And you've run a lot of different, I mean, your building's been very active. I mean, you've played a lot of big games there.
We've
seen everything been played there.
Right.
Anyone who watches all the different sports knows a lot of big college football games, a lot of big events.
Right.
Yours is a very active building.
It is. We're the first time in the history of the United States where we've had one stadium, ours in this case, will host the college national championship game last year, the Super Bowl this year, and the Final Four next year. We've had, you know, many concerts. We've had over 5 million guests come through the building in a year and a half, and as I said, whether it be NFL or Major League Soccer, the fans that are in that building vote as number one fan experience of any competing team in either of those leagues, and that says to me that we're doing the right things. We're listening to our fans, we're honoring them, we're celebrating them, we're doing the right things for them, and we'll continue to find ways to do that.
What are you most proud of that building? What part of that building is the, what's the thing you like most about that building?
Well, in terms of the structure itself, I think when you see the roof, it's magnificent, opening and closing in 8 minutes. I think when you see the Halo scoreboard, which is 360 degrees, 1,100 feet around, I think that's incredible. The artwork in the building's incredible. The fact that it's LEED Platinum certification, the first stadium in the United States and probably the last one will ever be LEED certification at that level. So we've touched on all the bases, not just how it looks, but how it feels and what it stands for, I think, in terms of the fan experience.
How about, when was the last year you were, how active are you as far as New York goes? Are you in New York a lot? Do you go to New York a lot?
I do. A lot of our league meetings are in New York,
right.
And so I'm there a great deal, and, you know, as a New Yorker for...
When did you leave New York?
No, Lordy. I left physically in New York when I was 20, 21 years old. But emotionally, you never leave New York.
Gotcha.
I mean, you're always connected to New York. There's always a part of me. I've been to Atlanta for 40 years, but New York is always a significant part of my home.
So you've been an Atlanta native for all that time?
Right. I moved here in 1978, started Home Depot in 79.
Okay, so I didn't realize you were already in Atlanta at that time. Okay, so you've been here all those years. You've seen Atlanta grow from when it was this really small town and a college football town into this town. I mean, in the beginning, people, all they knew about the Atlanta Falcons was Tommy Novus back in the old days.
That's right. God bless Tommy. The first player drafted by us in 1966, a great human being.
Great player, great human being,
great family. But, you know, Atlanta has grown a great deal, and I think college sports is still very important here, but, you know, the Braves had a great year last year. Atlanta United, our soccer team, won the MLS Cup last year, and we hold the 10 most attended games in the history of Major League Soccer, which is, again, a tribute to our focus on our fans and our supporters.
Is it tougher to run a Fortune 500 company or run an NFL team?
You know, it's interesting. When we announced we were going to buy the team, I was in New York having my owner orientation, and Commissioner Taglibu said to me, there's a guy here from New England, you ought to just have breakfast with him, Robert Kraft, who owns the Patriots. So I did that, and, you know, and Robert's advice to me, he's counseling me, and he's become like a, you know, a brother to me, and I love Robert, and from a business standpoint, a personal standpoint as well. But he said, you know, all the values that you put in place to build, you know, number two retailer in the world, Home Depot, when you left, and, you know, after 23 years there, put those same values in place. The one thing you can find is different is the public relations. So I said to Mar Robert, I said, you know, we started the company from scratch. We went public in 81. We had to deal with New York Stock Exchange, public ownership, institutions, et cetera. I mean, how tough can it be? He just looked at me and winked. Sometimes you do that with a child.
Yeah.
When the child is not going to understand really what you're saying, they're just like, you know, okay, Dad. So I've learned that that part of it is different. The public aspect of it is different. And I really feel in my heart that I'm a custodian, a steward for the public. So tough decisions that I have to make periodically, which are difficult, or the coach has to make, are made in that light, is that our greatest obligation really is to our fans, and how to put together the best organization, the best winning organization, both on the field and off the field as well.
I think there's different reasons people, you guys, as very successful businessmen, buy teams. Maybe as an investment, maybe to become famous, maybe because civically for a certain city. What was your reason? What was the, what drew you to the league?
Well, what drew me to the league is really funny. I was a season ticket holder, had club season tickets, and when I retired from HD in 2001, I said to myself, and actually the commissioner told me when we were in the process of buying the team, that you realize the Falcons have never had back-to-back winning seasons. And I said, well, Paul was the smartest guy in the room, not because he said it, because he just was. And I said, Paul, that can't be correct. So I went back and checked, and it was correct. And I, as a fan, had felt that way. So I said to myself, I could either stay on the sidelines and complain for another 20, 30 years to try to buy the team and fix it. So we bought it, and obviously we've fixed a large part of it. And the new stadium's a reflection of that. But our winning record has increased dramatically since we've owned the team in 2001. Coach Smith was a great coach for us. We had five winning seasons in a row with him, went to the playoffs a number of times. Coach Quinn now has been to the playoffs twice and Super Bowl once in 4 years. So, I think we've instilled the right kind of leadership and the right kind of values that drive the right behavior towards our fans and towards our communities that we live in, we work in, we play in. So I'm proud of where we are, but we always look for the next hurdle. I mean, how do we get better?
Is it a family business? Will it stay a family business?
Yeah.
Do your kids like the, I know you have a bunch of kids. Do your kids
I do,
like the business?
Yeah, I have six children, one of which my oldest or middle son is right here with me today. So they, they all love the business, particularly my younger, we call it batch one and batch two. Batch
right.
one is my older one, batch two is my younger, three of each, and three boys, three girls, et cetera. And
so it'll stay in the family?
It will stay in the family, yes.
That's good. I think that's good for the sport when that happens.
It is good for the sport. I'm very close to John Mara, very close to the Rooney family. I mean, these families that have, built the National Football League. And I've said this publicly on the floor when I've had meetings that, we stand on the shoulders of some great leaders who always did the right things for the Shield and always did the right things for the league versus just what was in the right thing for their own club. And John, obviously, who lives in New York and represents the Giants, and Steve Tisch as well as the Johnson family. But, I mean, particularly, thinking back and how when I first joined the league, Wellington spent so much time with me and gave me some guidance, which was very important.
Yeah, very good man. And it's true, because it's funny, you're in business, but you're also your partners. Your partners.
We are partners.
You compete, and then you don't compete.
But we don't compete. We compete on Sunday for 3 hours and 5 or 6 minutes, whatever it is. Outside of that, there's no competition. And the beauty of this business, as opposed to my first life when I was running Home Depot, I didn't call Lowe's for answers. So in this business, and soccer business is the same way as well, is that you can call your partners and ask them a variety of things in terms of best practices, nuances, things they're doing extraordinarily well. That's how we built our great stadium, is that we visited every existing stadium in the NFL and outside of the NFL, some in Europe as well. And we learned from the great things people like Jerry Jones was doing in Dallas and his great stadium, and what do we do better and how do we do it better. And we'll do the same thing, have done the same thing, for Stan Kroenke and what they're doing in Los Angeles. And we'll do the same thing for the Davis family when they finally build their stadium in Vegas.
Yeah, one in L.A. looks pretty good as it goes.
It's going to be great.
Yeah,
it's a great commitment by the Kroenke family and by Stan. And the stadium is going to be magnificent. The whole 300-acre project is going to be magnificent.
Well, listen, enjoy the week.
Thank you.
It's going to be a fun week here.
Thank you.
Good to see you, as always. Congratulations.
Good to see you.
Good to
you
see
look great. Thank you very much.
Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.